continue looking at Proverbs, and one verses we'll look at tonight deal with the subject of honesty and dishonesty, or justice and injustice. And those are subjects that are spoken of throughout the Word of God. Both honesty and dishonesty, justice and injustice are illustrated in several men and women of the Bible and their lives. If we turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 3, we see that one of the purposes of the book is to, in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, that is, concerning justice, that which is correct and right, judgment, which has to do with discernment, the ability to discern between what is right and what is not. And then the next thing he mentions there is equity, that which is fair, that which is right. And we know that Solomon prayed for wisdom in order that he would be able to display honesty and justice in all the judgments that he would have to make as king. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart," that is, a heart with insight, "to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this by so great a people?" So we see wisdom. Wisdom that is from above teaches us to be honest, teaches us to display justice rather than injustice. Honesty is, of course, the quality of being honest. It simply means to be free of deceit, to be free of untruthfulness. A lot of deceitful people today in the world, a lot of God's people are like Jacob, deceivers, very, very deceitful. To be honest is to be ethical, it's to be fair, it's to be reputable, simply to possess integrity. Dishonesty is to behave in an untrustworthy manner, or to behave in a fraudulent way with the intention to mislead. Anytime we intentionally mislead someone, that's dishonesty. Cheating is dishonesty. To mislead or to cheat someone in order, or to take an advantage of someone, to take an advantage of an unfortunate, for lack of a better word, situation in someone's life. These things all fall under the heading of dishonesty. They all fall under the heading of injustice. You see, honesty has to do with morals, has to do with values, with principles, with standards, while dishonesty is really the lack of morals. It's the lack of values. It's the lack of principles. It's the lack of integrity and standards. We see in the Old Testament that a system of honesty was established by law. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 35 and verse 36. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. In meat yard, he's talking about measurements and weights here. In weight or in measure. Just balances, just weights. A just ephah and a just hin shall you have. In other words, they were not to cheat anyone for any reason. They were not to attempt to take advantage of anyone for any reason. And this is all based upon I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse 15. Deuteronomy 25, verse 15, we could read the verses before that as well, but we'll probably read those later. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have. This is talking about fairness. Again, not cheating someone, not taking advantage of someone. And this is laws for the land of Canaan, which is the land of the enjoyment of God's blessing. He says, so you do these things that thy days may be lengthened in the land, that is, in the land of Canaan, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You do these things so that you can enjoy the blessings of God. You do these things so that you can enjoy God himself. There were also laws against taking advantage of disadvantaged people for the purpose of personal gain, such as the poor. Notice in Exodus chapter 23, Exodus 23 and verse 6. Thou shalt not wrest or twist the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Also of the stranger and the widow and the fatherless. Notice in Exodus 22, verses 21 and 22. Thou shalt neither vex or mistreat a stranger, nor oppress, hold him down, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. These were people who would be easier to take advantage of. So laws were established. And that says something about human nature. That God had to write these laws down to tell us, don't do this. That tells us something about our nature, how depraved we are. Because that is our tendency, to do the very things that he condemns. Then notice in Deuteronomy chapter 24, in verse 14, thou shalt not press an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers. In other words, it doesn't matter. That are in thy land within thy gates. And then Solomon, in his wisdom, warns against taking advantage of the disadvantaged. Notice in Proverbs 22, Proverbs 22 verse 16. He that oppresseth the poor, holds him down, keeps him poor, to increase his riches. That is, he does so for personal gain. And he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Then notice verse 22. Rob not the poor because he is poor. That is, because you can. Do not steal from him. Do not take advantage of him because you can. Because it's easy to do so. And this is the wisdom of Solomon. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. There are a lot of people today that are easy prey to crooks. And human nature is to take advantage of such people, to take advantage of someone's ignorance, to take advantage of someone's handicap, to take an advantage of someone's circumstances for personal gain. This all falls under the category of dishonesty. And it all goes back to selfishness. You see, honesty is a standard that God expects his people to meet. God expects us to be an honest people, to be a just people. And heavenly wisdom, of course, leads us, teaches us, instructs us to do just that. Now, dishonesty and all that it includes, deceit, fraud, theft, bribery, falsehood, lies, embellishments for the purpose of personal advantage, that's dishonest. Misinformation for the purpose of personal gain, that's dishonest. Misrepresentation for the purpose of personal gain. Again, all these things fall under the heading of dishonesty. To mislead someone. Pretense. To pretend. All of this falls under the heading of dishonesty, and it's all condemned. It's all condemned in the Word of God. Many of these things today that fall under the heading of dishonesty is referred to as diplomacy today. But it's dishonesty. It's referred to as sound business practice. It's dishonest. It's dishonesty. And it's condemned all through the Word of God. The book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 11. You shall not steal. Most people realize that's dishonest, that it's wrong. Neither deal falsely. Fewer people believe that is wrong. Most people believe it depends upon your circumstances. Rob them before they rob you. That's human wisdom. That's not heavenly wisdom. Neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. And again, there is the reminder, I am the Lord. Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25, verse 13. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights. Again, this was for the purpose of cheating someone. taking advantage of someone. A great and a small. And if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 9, you have the character of the Antichrist as being revealed. And one of the characteristics of the Antichrist is dishonesty. So to be dishonest is the spirit of Antichrist. So we want to look at, there's not many Proverbs that deal with the subject, so we want to look at the ones that do. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1, and we've seen that, we've already read of laws that were put in place in reference to what we read here in Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, that's not talking about a balance in your life. That's not what that's talking about. This is talking about honesty. This is a comparison between a false balance and a just weight. And a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. Now, this truth is repeated. Notice in Proverbs 16, verse 11, we read, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Verse 23, divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. All of these verses talking about the same thing. It's talking about the intent. A false balance deals with the intent of cheating someone, deals with the intent of taking advantage of someone. It represents that which is unjust. It represents that which is fraudulent. That is, that which is unjust and fraudulent practices dealing with whoever. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who the individual is. It is a sin to be unjust and fraudulent in our practices toward anyone. Whether you believe that that person is going to cheat you, so you've got to cheat them before they cheat you, that is the wrong way to look at it. It's the wrong way to... If they're going to cheat you, that does not justify you being fraudulent in any way. People do this all the time on tax. The government's been ripping me off for years, so what's it matter if I lie to them and give misinformation? Because it's dishonest. It's fraudulent. Oh, I know today most people do not view it that way, but you take the Word of God and try to view it some and see if you can view it any other way. It's fraudulent. It's dishonest. It's deception. There's no getting around it. Well, they're corrupt. So are you when you cheat the government. There's all kinds of businesses that we could refer to. There's all kinds of practices that go on today that we could refer to. But a false balance speaks of that which is unfair. It speaks of unfaithful actions. Again, in a false balance is dishonesty. And we read here that it is an abomination to the Lord. In other words, he detests it. He abhors it. He's disgusted by it. And almost anyone who's dishonest Just like any other sin, they have found a way in their mind to justify it. But God detests it. God abhors it. God is absolutely disgusted by it. He has an aversion to it. He holds hostility toward it. It is an abomination to the Lord. And this is true of all forms of dishonesty. Whatever form dishonesty takes, it all falls under this heading. A false balance is an abomination. It is an abomination to the Lord. So many times what is considered today has good business sense, good business practice. What many consider good business sense is nothing less than an abomination to the Lord. On the other hand, we read here in Proverbs 11 and verse 1 of a just weight, which speaks of honesty and integrity. And we read that a just weight is his delight. That is, the Lord's pleased with it. The Lord's pleased when we do not seek to take an advantage of someone, when we do not seek to cheat someone for personal gain. The Lord is pleased. The Lord is pleased when we deal fairly with others. He takes delight in it. He takes pleasure in it. He loves it. He's satisfied with it. A just weight and a false balance. That is the contrast here, and it shows us that God is a God of detail. God recognizes the false balance. And God also recognizes the just weight. You're not going to sneak the false balance by the Lord. He's going to see it. He recognizes the false balance. He recognizes the just weight. And notice in Proverbs 11, verses 2 through 6, I believe we have some principles here that are laid down that will prevent a false balance, will prevent dishonesty. The first thing he talks about in verse 2, when pride cometh. In order to be honest, we have to have some humility about us. It's not all about personal gain. All dishonesty is a result of selfishness. And it is the result of personal advantage. People lie for personal advantage. People steal for personal advantage. People deceive for personal advantage. People give misinformation for personal advantage. People misrepresent something for personal advantage. It all gets back to personal advantage, which all gets back to selfishness. Pride, humility is the solution. Humility is the solution to dishonesty. Integrity of purpose, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. So there is integrity keeps us honest. To be a person of integrity. A right estimate and view of wealth. Verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. People are dishonest when it comes to money and when it comes to things because they have a wrong perception of the material. They have a wrong perception of money. They have a wrong perception of material blessings. And a wrong perception of these things leads to covetousness, and covetousness will lead to dishonesty as well. And then we see in verse 5 and 6 he mentions righteousness in the heart. These are things that prevent us from becoming dishonest. So we see in Proverbs 11 and verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. That is, when someone intends to cheat another person when someone intends to take an advantage of someone for personal gain, that's an abomination. That's an abomination. But a just weight to treat someone, doesn't matter who it is, but to treat them fairly is a delight to the Lord. Then notice in Proverbs 16, Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Now, that word than indicates a comparison. The comparison being between little with righteousness and great revenues without right. So he's making a comparison. And he says a little with righteousness is better. That means it is more advantageous. But then there are, when you look at this, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. There are two very, very important implications that's being made here. First, honesty, doing what is right, doing what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord, does not guarantee wealth. Because he says a little with righteousness. Just because you deal fairly with someone, and just because you do what is right, you still may never have more than a little. You may never get beyond having but a little. You may never get beyond that. But the important thing to remember is that little is better because it was obtained honestly. Is better. Also, we see, so it is possible to have but little and do what is right. Now, it's true. You can tell somebody, you do what is right and God will bless you. That's true. There's no doubt about that. But do not lead them to believe you do what's right and God will bless you materially. Not necessarily so. You may never get beyond having but a little. The second implication is that wealth can be obtained by dishonesty. He says there, great revenues without right. So it is possible. It is possible to have great revenues. And the word revenues means income. Has reference to proceeds, earnings, profits. It is possible to have great revenues and yet be a crook, yet be a thief, yet be dishonest. So it is possible to have great revenues without right. So it is possible to increase profit by doing what is wrong. It's possible. It is also possible to do what is right and never have more than a little. But that does not change the fact it's better. It's better. It's better. It's more advantageous to you to do right than to do wrong. How many times you've heard people say,
Well, if it was wrong, God wouldn't have blessed me this way materially.
You'd better read your Bible. Just because you have material blessings does not mean that you're doing it right. To say that, then you have to go the other side. If you don't have material possessions, it's because you're not obeying God. It has nothing to do with it. But it's always better. It's always better. If I lie on my tax returns, I might get more money. And I might get more money for years and years and years. But still would be better for me. It would be better for you if you just did what was right. And just got a little bit. And again, people can try to justify it any way you want to try to justify it. But anytime you get down to where you are spending your time justifying an action, you're wrong. You don't have to justify what's right. You don't have to spend time justifying what's right. In Proverbs chapter 17, Proverbs 17, verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Now, I believe this has reference to judicial justice, which is, of course, a terrible abuse of God's authority. Justice is required in the Word of God by civil rulers. It is a requirement. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 3, 2 Samuel 23, verse 3. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And according to Romans 13, if we turn there, very familiar verses of Scripture, they are ministers of God to carry out God's work for the good, for the benefit of society. Romans 13:3 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. But if you have rulers that are condemning the wicked or justifying the wicked and condemning the just, that's an abuse of authority, because they are to be a terror not to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power or the authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, that is, of the authority. That's the way it should be. If you do what's right, you ought to have the praise of the authorities. If you do what's wrong, you ought to be judged and condemned by the authorities. That is the purpose of government. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. That is, if he does his job, it is for the good of society. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, or avenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now this Proverbs 17 verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked turns a blind eye, overlooks wicked practices, says that the wicked is innocent, And the same and the individual that condemns the just punishes the one for doing what's right. Both of these individuals are an abomination to the Lord, and both defeat the purpose of what government, what civil authorities are there for. In Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. I believe this too has reference to judicial justice or the perverting of justice, but it is applicable to the private sector as well. The first part of the proverb, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked. That is, it's not right, it's not proper, it's not appropriate to receive or to agree with the wicked, with the guilty, due to personal relationship, due to position, due to personal favor that you may think that you owe to someone. It's not good. It's never good to accept the person of the wicked. And then, of course, on the other hand, or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. The teaching here is that justice ought to be done without respect of persons. Justice is to be done without respect of persons. And then that takes us to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 14. It is nothing, saith the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. Now this has reference to dishonesty in buying something. Now, clarify something here. There's certainly nothing wrong with trying to find the best buy. That's part of being a good steward. But to do so in a dishonest way, or to do so by taking advantage of someone, is dishonest. The example he gives here is, it is not. As the individual wants to buy something, and he's telling the seller, it's nothing, it's a piece of junk. Well, if it's a piece of junk, why do you want to buy it? This is what the buyer is saying. It's nothing. It's junk. It's garbage. This is wrong. This is wrong. And on he goes. And finally, the seller agrees to sell at probably the price the buyer is asking. And the buyer then goes away bragging what a great deal he got. That's dishonest. That's dishonesty. That is taking advantage of someone. That's not the same thing as looking for a good deal. That's not the same thing as trying to get the best price. That's telling someone, that's giving someone misinformation. It is a misrepresentation of a product that you are trying to buy. And that's dishonesty. Now you can turn it around the other way. The seller to misrepresent what he is selling, to give him misinformation, to mislead in order to sell a product at a higher price. That's dishonest. That's injustice. Proverbs 20 and verse 17 says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with grub. That is, the taste of food gained through dishonest dealings may at first seem sweet. It may at first seem pleasant, delightful, and satisfying. But eventually, it'll be as unpleasant as eating gravel. And this is a warning against short-sightedness. And dishonesty is short-sightedness, just like all sin. All sin is, and every sin we commit, we are guilty of short-sightedness. We're not looking at the big picture. And that's true also of the sin of dishonesty. And then lastly, in Proverbs 29, verse 24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. Whoso is partner, that is an associate, an accomplice, accessory, a helper with a thief, with someone who steals, takes away another man's property, takes advantage of another individual. The individual who is a partner with that individual hateth his own soul, or he does not consider the good of his own soul. Now, there are many ways in which I believe we can become partner with a thief. Employment. You be careful who you work for. Because if you work for thieves, I believe that makes you a partner. You're an associate. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful of the type of company that we work for. To receive or to buy stolen goods. Oh, it's a great deal. It's being a partner with a thief. It's helping a thief. Now, a lot of people don't see anything wrong with it. Oh, it's a good deal. It's just good business sense. It's so much cheaper. It's partnering with thief. When you know something is stolen and you buy it, you have sinned. If you have an idea that it's stolen, you shouldn't even buy it. If you just have an inkling that it's stolen, you shouldn't buy it. And then to tell the buyer, well, don't tell me about it. I'll just take it. I don't want to know any information. You're dishonest. That is partnering with a thief. So the Bible is very clear on the subject of honesty, dishonesty, justice, injustice. And really, it is a subject that we are faced with in the varied circumstances of life. We're all faced with it. We all, many times in our lifetime, are put in a position where we have to be honest or dishonest, where we have to be just or unjust. But what we need to remember is that it is not our circumstances that determine whether or not we should be honest, whether or not we should be just. It's thus saith the Lord. It's not the apparent outcome. Well, if I'm just withhold a little information here and just mislead a little bit, the outcome for me is going to be good. No, it's not. Better is a little with right than great revenues without right. So it's not circumstances. It's not apparent outcome. It's not personal advantage
that dictates whether or not we should be honest. All we need is thus saith the Lord. And God tells us that it's always best. It will always be best for us. Now we may just have but a little. But it will always be best just to be honest and just and to be just. And that is to deal fairly. So the wisdom that is from above instructs us in honesty and integrity. The wisdom of man tells him that there are times, there are circumstances where it is okay. God understands. In order for your family to get ahead, that it is okay to be dishonest. That is the wisdom that is from beneath, which is sensual, which is devilish. So what are we following tonight? The wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that comes from God, which leads us and instructs us to be honest and just. Or do we follow the reasonings of man, which teaches us that circumstances dictate whether or not we should be honest, whether or not we should be just. So once again, God help us to have the wisdom of God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.